Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly, reverently approach thy word tonight, knowing that you are the author and finisher of our faith, believing, Father, that you came down in this hour with a shout. We believe that truly, Lord, without thee we are nothing, and through the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, it is through his blood that you see us as perfect as you saw your Son. Now we ask you, Father, to help us with an understanding. You are the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him that came down in this hour. We pray that you would be with us, Father, so that we might better understand this wonderful sermon that we've been studying now for 2 years from the spoken word's original seed. And we just ask, Father, your blessings upon it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now this evening we'll examine paragraphs 13 or 14 from the second half of Brother Branham's sermon, the spoken word's original seed, and where he says, now this unwise virgin is a woman. She's a church. She is unwise. See? She's just been dilatory, and we preached last week on that, and how we are to either be diligent or dilatory. And of course, dilatory is not a very good thing, because it means you're just slack. You're a slacker. And yet, she called herself the bride. And remember, everything runs in three for perfection. Three is the number of perfection. God's offices: Father, Son, Holy Ghost. God the Father was a God that lived in the pillar of fire. He was trying to draw Israel to himself, but they wouldn't come. God the Father lived in the Son, which made him God the Son, same God, expressed image of God, the seed of God manifest, trying to draw the people to himself. They crucified him. The Holy Ghost is the same God that was at the beginning in the Son of God. And now here are the other offices of God in the last days, living in the church, trying to bring the word, the spoken word, like all the other two offices did, to the people, and they reject it. It's the same thing. It's the three offices or manifestation of one God in action. And God in his people today in action is God in action. See, it's God in the people. I'd just like to add here that Jesus said, my Father worketh and I worketh hitherto. So when the people are in action and they're following the word of God, it's actually what Brother Bram is laying out here, is it's God in action. In paragraph 14 says, Lord willing, I want to speak on that tomorrow night. God in his universe, God in his Son, God in his people, and so forth. Now, I've spoken on that before here, I believe. I'd like to qualify the thought of Brother Branham's here, because there are some that would take this quote along with several others, and they have declared to the people that God is in his church. And if God is in the church, then the church is in essence God. This is a terrible misunderstanding of the quote in the scriptures, and thus they seek worship of themselves, just like Lucifer sought worship of himself. You see, when they want you to look at them, in essence, they're putting a value. And the word worship comes from two words, worth and ship. And the word worth is, of course, value, and the word ship is a state or condition of. So we're looking at worship then being the exaltation or the high value that is placed on something. And so when a man points to himself, I want you to look at him. He's actually wanting you to worship him. And so when they use these quotes of Brother Branham's to get the people to see that perhaps God is in the people, well, see, God as an object of worship then would be in the people, which is heresy. But if you examine what Brother Branham taught here all along with Scripture, you will not fall into that trap of the devil. Even when the devil tried to get Jesus to look at him or to look to him or to worship him, Jesus rebuked the devil in this manner. Therefore, Brother Branham is not teaching here that God as an object of worship is in his people. That would be idolatry. And he's not teaching it as though that he's saying that the fullness of the Godhead is bodily in the church. That also would be heresy. But that would be a total misapplication of quotes in Scripture. But what he's teaching is that the life, the attributes, the nature, the characteristics of God's life that was in Christ is to be in the church. And that is what Paul taught the people as well. Paul said in Galatians 1:24, he says, and they glorified God in me. Now, Paul was not saying that they looked to him as though he were God, or that God was in his flesh, or God was somehow tabernacling in him, or the doxa of God, which is his opinion, his values, and judgments. Paul says, that's what they saw in me, was the doxa of God. When they saw me, they said they saw God's values. They saw his opinions. They saw his judgments. They saw these things living in and expressing themselves out in me. That's what Paul's saying. He's not saying they glorified God as though he were God, but he's saying they glorified God in me when they saw the things of God that I held high and dearly. Again, in Galatians 1:16, Paul is not saying that the Son of God was living in him, like he was some outer coat for the Son of God to put on, but his words, to reveal his Son in me. What Paul is saying is that God actually wanted to use a vessel of Paul, to manifest the very life that was in the Son, the seed of God, our Son of God seed. As Brother Bram said, if there's an original Son of God seed, it'll have to produce that same life in other seeds. It'll have to produce Son of God's. So Paul is saying that the Son of God life coming from the original Son of God seed has come back upon me to express that same life in me. Now, this following quote has been taken by some and preached as though the fullness of the Godhead now lives bodily in the church and as if that's the only place where it is. That would mean that Elohim is living in the church, and thus the only body Elohim has now is a church. And that's totally error. You know, there's men who use three glasses, three tumblers, and they say, they take the first one, it's full of water, and they say all that was in the Father, he poured into the second tumbler, he poured into his Son. And so then they pour the water from the first tumbler into the second, and they put the first tumbler, which represents God the Father, they put it away. Well, now there's no longer God the Father. It's all God and His Son. Then they take the fullness, you know, the second tumbler, which is the Son of God, represents the Son of God. And they say all that was in the Son is now poured into the church, and now they discard the Son of God. And so now God is in His church. And that's totally, totally Catholic, total heresy. The only way you could actually do that, you know, same illustration, is to have a first glass that's full and say all that was in the Father was poured into His Son. And then now as you pour the first glass into the second, you actually end up with two full glasses. And then all that was in the Son was poured into the church. And now you have three full glasses because you're dealing with God life. You're not dealing with the person of God. Now, from Be Not Afraid, Brother Branham said, now how many of you believe that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Now watch His glorious... Watch this glorious bunch of pastors there now. Now, brethren, doesn't the Scripture teach us that He is the high priest right now that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities? Now, see, how many out there believes that He's a high priest that can be touched by the... Now, if He's the same high priest, He'd act the same as He did then. Is that right? Now, how would you know that He was acting? You see? Now, here's what it is. I've just got through saying that God is in His people. All that God was, He poured into Jesus. Do you believe that? He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And all Jesus was, He poured into the church, the Holy Ghost. Is that right? So it's God in us, God in you. And again, Brother Branham is not saying God as an object of worship in you. But you see, because they stop right there. But if you read on, the next few thoughts, he says, Brother Bram lays it out very clear when he says, and let me go back just a little bit and read this, and then we'll pick up exactly what he says right next. He says, all God was, He poured into Jesus. Do you believe that? He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And all Jesus was, He poured into the church. The Holy Ghost, is that right? So it's God in us, God in you. It doesn't make you anything. It's not the holy mountain or holy church. It's the Holy Ghost, not the holy people. The Holy Ghost, see? It's the Holy Ghost in the people, not holy people, Holy Ghost, see? And that's the thing. And in the following quote, now notice how he's emphasizing. You see, if you get a wrong attitude on this thing or a wrong motive, you're going to try to make it that you're somebody because it's God in you. And that's what they're teaching today. They're trying to make, you know, the people feel like they're some super duper elevated people when they're just totally, totally bringing it into a self-worship. But in the following quote, he speaks of the Holy Ghost being bred into us. So he's speaking definitively and definitely of God's seed life in the believer. And he warns us that if we add anything to this God seed life, well, we're going to hybrid it. And then we won't have God life living in us. We'll have some form of a hybrid religion. So from his sermon, it wasn't so from the beginning. He said we need a bred in Holy Ghost religion. So notice he's talking about breeding in Holy Ghost religion. Holy Ghost power. Where is God? God is in His church. God is in His word. God is in His people. God is in His universe. He's everywhere. But we can't hybrid Him into something because He won't cross up with nothing. He's God and God alone. You can't hybrid Him in five or six different things or four or five different gods. He's God and God alone. He won't hybrid. He's God. You can't make intercession of saints and say, this saint did this and that saint did that. No such thing. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus, the only mediator. What's the matter with the church then? If He was here on earth, which He is, and we find the church today is in the same condition He did back then, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, He said it wasn't so from the beginning. Now we find out what it was at the beginning. That's what we have to do. We have to go back to the beginning and find out what it was. So that is what we must do also. We must find out how God was in the beginning. And in the beginning, God said, let every seed bring forth after its kind. So there you are, God, life in God. When the seed of God comes into us, it brings with it God, life in us. And if we wish to see how in the beginning the church, how that the church was in the beginning and how God was in the church in the beginning, if he was, then let's go back to the Alpha Ministry of Christ in the church to get our answer. Let's see if Jesus ever said that God would be in the church and how he would be in the church. So let's turn to the book of John, the 17th chapter, and we're going to come to that and find our answer. But first, I just want to say this, because you see, if you're looking at the flesh still, you're wrong. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him so no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you then reconciled to God. Now, what we're looking at then is, okay, if God is in the people, how is God in the people? Certainly, as God or as an object of worship, he is not. So then what is Brother Branham meaning when he says God is in his people? Well, he has to be referring to the God life, that the attributes and characteristics from the original. Every seed must bring forth after its kind. He must be looking at the attributes, the nature, the characteristics of God in the people. In other words, then, if those attributes and characteristics are in the people, then what are those characteristics? What are those attributes? And we're going to look at them tonight. I think I have about 14 or 15 of them. There may be more. But certainly this is not the end all. But we're just going to look at about 14 of them. Now, number one, if you notice that, it was the Word of God that was in Christ. So we have, in other words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God, and then that Word became flesh. So it was the Word of God that became flesh. It was the Word of God that was in Christ. So we have been committed unto a word of reconciliation, Paul says, that the Word of God may effectually work in us in the same way that it worked in Christ. In Colossians 1:25, Paul says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from age to age, from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I remember back in 83, a minister said to me, this is a presence quote, isn't it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I said, no, brother. I said, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see, Christ in you is the anointing in you. It's not the person. It's the anointing in you, which is the hope or the earnest expectation of receiving the glory, which is the doxa, which is the opinion, assessment, and judgment of God, which is the mind of God. So, as John says in John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, to them that received him, to them he gave power to become sons. And he didn't give us dunamis. He didn't give us some supernatural power to become what we were not. He gave us an ability to become what we already are. So Paul says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. And that word worketh also is the word energy. So we see the energy of God working in us. Now, Christ in you, the hope of glory, or earnest expectation, or glory, is not God, the person, God, Elohim in you, but Christ, the anointing from God in you, which is the earnest expectation that the glory, the doxa, the opinion, assessment, and values of God, and the judgment of God may be in us. Excuse me. So Paul was saying that when Christ, the anointing of God, is in you, that is the earnest to know that the doxa, or the mind of God, his opinions, values, and judgments will soon be in you as well. In Galatians 2 and 20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, not I was, but I am. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now notice Paul tells us that Christ is living in us. But we must know how that he lives in us if we are to understand what he's talking about. And always remember, he is not speaking of the person inhabiting your body as though you are an outer coat without a soul and spirit, but the life that was in the person, the anointing, which Christ means anointing. So he's speaking of Christ, the anointing living in you. He's talking about the anointing, the life expressing itself in you. And since the anointing is God life, we are looking here of the expression of God life that is living itself out in your mortal flesh. And do not forget, we're studying the spoken word's original seed, and this whole thing stems off of Genesis 1:11, which is the every seed must bring forth after its kind. So this whole sermon is looking at the life of the original seed coming back to live again in other sons of God. Therefore, we're looking at God's seed, which if God is the Word, John 1:1, it tells us he is, then we must look at the God seed or God Word or Word of God seed, which is God's seed or of God's seed life living itself out in us. Now, therefore, in 1 John 1, in verse 1, we read, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, so it's something that's come manifested, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. So he's not talking about the man, he's not talking about the vessel, he's talking about the attributes, the nature, the character that's expressing itself through that vessel, Jesus. For the life was manifested. We've seen it, we bear witness, we show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, but was manifested unto us. So how was it manifested unto us? Well, it was manifested through the body of God's firstborn Son, that's how. So God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That which we have seen, he says, and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is first of all with the Father, and then with his Son, Jesus Christ. So what are some of the ways in which this God life may abide in us, or indwell us, and be expressed through our mortal bodies? Well, first of all, we find in John 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So number one, first of all, we must have the word of God, the word of Christ, living and abiding in us. And remember that Christ, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus said, the things that I teach, the Father commanded me what to say. So it wasn't his word, it was God's word. Go back to number one. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice Paul tells us that Christ is living in us. But we must know how that he lives in us to understand what he's talking about. And always remember, he is not speaking of the person inhabiting your body, but the life that was in the person, the anointing, which is the Christ, that you know, the anointing in you. So he's speaking of Christ, the anointing living in you. He's talking about the anointing, the life expressing itself in you. And since the anointing is God life, we're looking here at the expression of God life that is living itself out in our mortal flesh. And do not forget that we're studying the spoken word's original seed, because all seeds must bring forth after their kind. God, who is the Word, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, in 1 John 1:1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, we bear witness, we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now, how was it manifested unto us? Through the body of his firstborn Son, that's how. So God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. That which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So what are some of the ways in which God himself or God life may be able or to abide in us or to indwell us and be expressed through us in our mortal body? Because if Brother Branham is saying God is in the people, how is God in the people? Certainly God, the object of worship, is not in the people. Or God as an object of worship, because there's no way that there's only one God. And the people are many, they're plural. All right? So first of all, we find in John 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. So number one, we must have the word of Christ abiding and living in us. Number two, our bodies are to bear the fruits of the Spirit. John 15 and verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. So number two is the fruit, or the fruits of the word, the fruits of the spirit, are to abide or manifest themselves in you. That's how God is in you. So we see it in John 15 and verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Number 3, Paul said the long-suffering of Christ was to show forth in his body. In 1 Timothy 1:16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So Paul's saying, look, there's a longsuffering that's involved. And when you see that longsuffering, you see Christ. And we're not talking about the flesh and bones Jesus. We're talking about Christ, the anointing of God, the God life coming forth in you, attributes of God. Number 4, Paul said, it is the energy of God that is to work in our bodies. In Colossians 1:29, he says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, his energia, or his energy, which worketh or energizes in me mightily. From Elisha the prophet, Brother Bram said, we fail to see the power that God has placed in his people. God is in his people. You believe that? God was in his people at one time when he walked on earth, but now God is in his people. A little while the world seeth me no more, yet you'll see me, for I, personal pronoun, now will be with you and in you to the end. God dwells, he moves, he works in mankind. Hallelujah. God doesn't work through organization. He works through his individuals. God works in men. He doesn't do the work today. He energizes or projects his spirit into men to do so. He said, I am the vine. The vine don't bear fruit. You are the branches. The branches are the ones that bear the fruit. So Brother Branham said he energizes or projects his spirit into men to do so. Again, we see that this is the energy of God that is to work in our bodies. In Galatians 2 and 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty, was energio, or energized in me toward the Gentiles. So you see the energy of God moving in Paul to do what he did. All right, Galatians 1:24, and they glorified God in me. They doxazoed God in me. In other words, the doxa of God that manifested or expressed itself in me is what they valued and esteemed to be from God as an expression of God in me to them. So it says they glorified God in me. Now they weren't saying they're glorifying the God in me. They're saying they glorified God, his doxa, his opinion. The values of God, they saw it in me. All right. Number 5, and the very life that Christ that lived in Christ, the very attributes and characteristics, the very nature that expressed itself in him, now lives and expresses itself in me. That is why Paul could say in Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I am living. Yet it's not I that am living, but it is Christ living in me. Christ the anointing, the life that lived itself out in Christ, is also living itself out in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I am living by the faith, the revelation of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. From Show Us the Father, Brother Bram said, now if God is in his people, that same life that was in Jesus is in here in the church, and it's in you, the people. So I see you're talking about the life expressing itself. All right. Again, from You Must Be Born Again, he said, now false teachers will bring false births. True prophets will bring the word, the birth of Christ, the birth of the word, Christ. False prophets will bring false birth, the birth of churches, the birth of creeds, the birth of denominations. And here you are, Pentecostal brothers, false sensations. And tell me, man, he's got the Holy Ghost because he speaks in tongues? I've seen devils speak in tongues, pencils lay down and write in unknown tongues. That don't mean a thing. See, it's got to be a life. By their fruit you shall know them, Brother Bram. Do you believe in speaking in tongues? Well, yes, sir. You believe in shouting? Yes, sir. To be a Christian, I believe that. I believe God's word. But if the life isn't there to back it up, then what? Number 6, the truth of Christ is to be in us and expressed in us and through us. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. So notice Paul says, as the truth of Christ is in me. All right. Number 7, the very opinions, values, and judgments of God are to be in us and be expressed in us and through us, and thus will make us one with God, even as Jesus and God were one. In John 17:21, he said, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, which is the doxa, his opinions, values, judgment, which thou gave to me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they also may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And from verse 11 of John 17, he says, "Now, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And how is it that we might be one, even as," which means in the same manner that Jesus and the Father were one? Well, Jesus said in verse 14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Jesus tells us we become one with God through the same word that he became one with God. We further see in John 17, verse 20, he says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as the Father art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even or in the same manner as we are one." Therefore, it is very apparent that we are one by receiving the same word which brings us into the same glory or the same mind as the Father. "And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." From his sermon, Harvest Time, Brother Branham quotes Jesus saying, Jesus said, "That they may be one, Father, as you and I are one." Not for some man to be over something, it never did work. Or one denomination wants to take over another, one man over another. "But that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one." That's what the prayer is. That he was the Word. And Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples that up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we all might congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do that, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. Now, Jesus told us that we would know that he would be in us. In John 14:20, he said, "At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Again, from his sermon, "Show Us the Father, and it'll satisfy," Brother Branham said, "Now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God. The Bible said so. But the only begotten of the Father has declared him." Philip here was very inquisitive, and he wanted to see the Father. It says here, he said, "I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me." He said, "When you see me, you have seen the Father." In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the same, in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works. He was a Son himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world. His attitude towards the people, see? Well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself now. He said, "When you see me, you see the Father." And why do you say, "Show us the Father"? So you see, all these things that we're bringing out here show that it's not the person that you're seeing. It's the attributes, the life, the manifestation, the nature. Number 8, the words of Christ will abide or live themselves out in us. In John 15, verse 7, "If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Notice, "if my words abide in you." Number 9, the very works of Christ will abide in us, or be expressed in us, or through us. In John 14 and 10, he said, "Believest thou that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." And again in John chapter 10, verse 38, "But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." All right, number 10, by taking heed to the words and actions of Christ expressed through Paul and other vessels God chose to use, it shall allow the peace of God to abide in us. And Philippians 4 and 9, well, let me just, number 11, Paul tells us that we are to be imitators of him, not from an outwardly way, but from the heart. In Philippians 4 and 9, he says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." Now, just because all the things that we learned from God are in us, that does not make us God. No more than our bodies yielding themselves to sin makes you the devil. Because we find in Romans 7, verse 20, Paul says, "Now, if I do that which I should not do, it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me." Romans 7, 17, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me." And verse 8, "But sin taketh occasion by the commandment wrought in me, all manner of concupiscence, for which the law, for without the law sin was dead." So Paul's saying, look, if my body's manifesting sin, that doesn't make me the devil. It means that sin is dwelling in me. Well, if you are manifesting the Word of God, the actions of God, the character of God, the nature of God, that doesn't make you God. You see? It means that you're anointed with the Spirit of God. So you see, we're looking at these vessels as that only. Vessels unto honor or vessels unto dishonor. We can yield our bodies to sin or we can yield our bodies to reflect the doxa of God, His opinion, His values, His judgment. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul taught us concerning how that we're to yield our vessels and why we are to yield them to God only. In Romans 6:13, he said, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness or unrightwiseness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." So Paul is talking about the vessel and how to yield. Number 12, then we can see that as we yield our vessels unto righteousness or the rightwiseness of God's word, the holiness of God will express itself through our vessels. In Mark 4 and 8 we read, "And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold." And number 13, we are to receive in these bodies and reflect it in the very, faith of Christ. As Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, "I've been crucified with Christ, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I am living. But Christ, it's not I that lives, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I'm now living, I live by the faith of the Son of God." Not my faith, but His faith. So we see in Acts 26 and 18, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So Paul says, when you're looking at me, you see the faith of God in me. The faith of the Son of God. That's what's living in me. Number 14, the very love of God, for God is love. And Paul tells us in Romans 5 and 5 that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And this Holy Ghost is God's holy life. And it is the same holy life in each one of us, according to 1 Corinthians 2:13. "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, and have been all made to drink into one body," or one Spirit. Again, Ephesians 2:18, Paul says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Well, if we have access to the Father, then it's not the Father that's in us. He sees the Father's life. So if we have access by one Spirit unto the Father, then we are not the Father, and thus we are not God, and thus the church is not God, but God life is in the church. And if we have the same Spirit, then why does one Spirit conflict with another Spirit? Why would two people with the Holy Ghost fuss with one another? I'll tell you why, because they're not yielding to the Holy Ghost. They're yielding to their other spirit they were born with. That's why Brother Branham said in his sermon, Conference with God, he said, "You see, beyond any controversy, God is in His people. Then we ought to respect one another. We ought to love one another. Beyond our denominational barriers, we ought to love one another anyhow, no matter if we cannot agree. Maybe the apostles, they couldn't agree, or many of the apostles, they couldn't agree. They wanted to know who's the greatest among them, and many things. John, Mark, and Paul, and Peter and Paul had disagreements. But the bonds of love, that's what we're trying to contend for today. So we need to understand that God is in us in the form, that God is with us in the form of the pillar of fire. And the pillar of fire is the place where the Shekinah presence abides. But the pillar of fire is not in the church. It's with the church. But it is with the church, the same that God is leading his people as he did in Moses' day, in Paul's day. It's his very presence with us in this hour. From Let Us See God, Brother Bram said, and the same Spirit was in Jesus Christ is among us today, manifesting himself continually to the people by the same signs, same wonders, giving them the same Holy Ghost, speaking with the same kind of tongues, giving the same kind of interpretation, seeing visions, moving out, healing the sick, just exactly like he did at the beginning. God is in his people. Why do we look then and say, show us the Father and it'll satisfy? We see the Father. We see the Father. When I look out here and I see the sunset, I see the Father. Now I want you to think about this quote, because when people say God is in the church, as if, you know, the church now is some great holy thing. He said, no, it's not holy church, Holy Ghost. Brother Bram said, when I see the sunset, I see the Father. He said, when I see the sun rise, I see the Father. When I hear the wild call of the beast, I see the Father. When I see those flowers blooming, I see the Father, don't you? I see him in his word. Every time I take his word to a promise, I see the Father. I look at Jesus, I see the Father expressing himself through the Son. I look at his people, I see the Father, see him working among his people, expressing himself, continuing on. Show me the Father. Here he is, right here this afternoon, working among his people, in his people, through his people, over his people. Hallelujah. God is in his people. Now, I know what the ministers are trying to do by using these quotes about God is in the people. Brother Bram said that we should look at their motives for what they preach. And I do not see a very good motive out there when I see their bondage, you know, that they're holding people to their ministry using bondage. From his sermon, Discernment of the Spirit, Brother Branham said, but what is he trying to do? The purpose of his heart, what's he trying to get? Then you can see what's in the man's life. Whether his motives is for his denomination, whether it's for himself, whether it's for the worldly things, whether it's for a big name, to say, I predicted that, just come exactly to pass. Now, you see, that's wrong right there to begin with. But if he's trying to use what God gave him as a teacher, as a prophet, as a seer, that's a different thing. The next thing they'll tell you is that they are God's mouthpiece. You see, because if they can get the people believing that God is in the church, now who's the greatest God in the church? You see, that's where it leads to. So the next time you hear some preacher trying to push down your throat, as though God is manifested in the flesh in the bride, and therefore you had better listen to him because he's speaking for God, then just go back to this quote where Brother Bram said, when I hear the wild call of the beast, I see the Father. So brother, you're no more than the wild call of the beast to me. And I can see God in that too. Now to place these quotes into their proper perspective, let me read just a few of the 300 plus quotes where Brother Branham clarifies himself. I'm only going to read two. I'll spare you. From his sermon, We Would See Jesus, he said, now, we was told as Catholics that God is in his church, and that's where God is in his church. So then if God is in his church, which one of them is his church? These people saying God is in his bride, which one of them is his bride? Each one of them says, it's the church. So I knew one thing. Now, that's just what the priest said. God is in his church. But the Bible said God is in his word. And he said that whosoever shall add anything to this or take anything out of it, the same will be taken out of the book of life for him. So I believe with all my heart that this word is God in print form. And from conference with God, Brother Bram said, this is what it is today. We're supposed to listen to the church today. And I said, God is in his word. He said, God is in his church. I said, he's in the word. He's in his word. And if the word isn't in the church, then God isn't in the church because the word is God. And I said, besides, do you believe the apocalypse, which means revelations in the Greek? You believe the apocalypse is inspired? He says, certainly. And I said, then Jesus Christ said himself in the apocalypse that whosoever shall take one word out of it or add one word to it, his part will be taken out of the book of life. Then how can you say that you have authority to take out, put in, or do what you want to do when you're forbidden to do it by the founder of the Christian church, Jesus Christ? You can't do it. And that is where we'll close tonight. But let me just say one thing about what Brother Bram is telling us. If a man preaches that God is in the church, you had better watch his motives, brother. Because God is in his word, for he is the word. And when men start to focus on anything outside of this word, they are in the process of going astray. And sometime down the road, you just watch, they will add to here, they will take away there, and they themselves will become their own absolute. We were warned by the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul that these men would come in and bring in alongside of them destructive heresies, even denying the one who bought them. And when these men preach God is in the church, unless they clarify that God is in his word, they are teaching false doctrine. And why do they teach false doctrine? There's only one reason, filthy lucre. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these thoughts that Brother Branham gave us. We thank you, Father, for helping us to have a better understanding, to place these things correctly, that you are in your word. And if your word is in the church, then your presence is here with us. But Father, far be it from us being anything to where we could say that God is in the church and not clarify that God is in his word. Help us, Lord, to stay with your word. For truly we know that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to endless genealogies and fables and all these other things. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd keep us unto the end, keep us in the palm of your hand, keep us safe. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace. And give thee peace. And give thee peace.